Well, Paul, happy new year. I haven't seen you in the new year. Hope you had a good Christmas.
Thanks, Jason. Great to be back.
Lots going on. The Raptors getting more bad news as Fred VanVleet, Nick Nurse, says today. He will be out a little while, whatever that means. So Siakam and Gasol.
Everybody's like, out a little while.
Yeah.
What in the world is a little while? This seems awfully long.
Yeah, they're banged up a lot in Toronto. And you know what? They've been able to handle the injuries pretty well for this point, but at some point it's going to catch up with you. And, you know, you got all these guys playing a lot of minutes coming after last year's run, and then just a horrible rash of injuries.
And big time injuries. Siakam, I was reading about him today, and really no idea when he's going to be back. And when Jason Strudz, you'll relate to this. When you hear that term groin tear, whenever you hear that, that's scary stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because the groins are so fickle. You know, you can feel great for a week, and then you're like, okay, let's try it out. And you just pull it, right? And you're right back to where you started.
I know.
I think it's a little different than maybe a shoulder. So when you look at all these guys and the injuries coming and kind of the frustration, how does Nick Nurse, does he just keep trying to plug holes with guys from the D League or off the bench?
It's all he can do, and he seems like a resilient team culture led by a resilient coach. And where I think Nurse gets his frustration let out is on the officials, because he's going after the officials on every play. But in response to what you said, Jason, absolutely. He has been resilient. And that's one of the things I like about Nurse, is he really seems to be a guy who's in the moment.
Yeah.
He doesn't lament. He just gets after it. And they really have next man up on their mentality, and that's why we've seen the performances from guys like Davis Boucher, who have just stepped in and done some things that have been unexpected.
You've talked a little bit about this in the past, but maybe some of the three-point shooting. Is Matt Thomas the solution or a potential solution?
He's certainly a help, especially when you look at 6-for-42. And that's the thing about this team without Thomas. They don't really have a pure shooter. They have guys who can shoot the three, but they also have, and anybody's capable of having an off night, but they don't have the kind of shooting on this team outside of Thomas that, you know, night in and night out, the expectation is that they're going to be able to make the majority of their shots. So I think Thomas is a real step forward for them. He'll give them at least another weapon from the three-point line, and I think that's important with this team, because they need every little edge they can get, given the stars that are sitting on the sidelines watching the games.
Paul Sir joins us now. Around the league, recently we've just seen some Canadian guys. You know, Brooks did it the other day, and you know, in OKC, Shea Alexander is crushing it for Canada. Like, you're seeing more and more as this season progresses, Paul. I get more confident, and maybe it's wrong on my part, but I'm getting more confident in what Canada could potentially do in men's basketball this summer.
I agree with you. I think you have every reason to feel confident, Jason, because these guys on the biggest stage are doing some great things. I mean, my gosh, look at Brandon Clark. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
You know, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, you know, Clark comes in not as an afterthought, but somebody where I don't think there were super high expectations, and the guy's a player. And how good is that going to look in FIBA, him in the middle changing shots and running the court? How is that going to look?
I was just going to ask, because a few weeks ago we were talking about the injuries and the concern maybe for the big men for Canada, and it seems like ever since that's happened, the other young big guys, like, hands up, hey, over here, guys, don't worry.
Clark, we're okay, guys. Yeah. We're going to be all right. No, it's exciting. I mean, Gilgeous Alexander is absolutely torching the league, and he's really good. The night when they beat the Raptors, my God, was he fun to watch. And it's that mid-range stuff he does. I mean, he doesn't look like he's even going that fast. That's one thing they talk about Gilgeous Alexander, is he plays at the pace he wants to play at and controls his defender with his pace. When I go, a real quick aside, grassroots basketball, when I go to the Saville Center, what drives me nuts with young basketball players is they need to learn how to change direction and how to change speeds. And I'm sure that's the same way in hockey.
Sure. Yeah, it is.
But,
yeah.
But in basketball, it seems like everybody feels like they have to go full speed.
Yes.
A, you got to dribble between your legs, and B, you got to go at hyper speed. And both are ridiculous. But that's not something that coaches spend enough time on, is you've got to learn how to. And Gilgeous Alexander is absolutely a master, because you look at him and you go, you know, how can a guy, he looks like he's slow. He's not slow. He's lightning quick. He just knows how to control his defender through his pace.
Talking with Paul Sir, Basketball Alberta El Presidente. Paul, some frustration.
That almost sounds important. So yeah, well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So that's good.
Paul, I'm trying to add some different languages to the show.
You are multilingual, yeah. So that's great.
The Cleveland basketball group is having a tough, Cavaliers having a tough year. And we saw Kevin Love act out in a bit of a, you know, tantrum, frustrated way. Is this the team's lack of success, frustrated his teammates, his year? What do you think this is coming from Kevin Love, a long-time NBA vet? This isn't a second-year player here.
Long-time NBA vet who has had a lot of injury mm-hmm. problems, has missed a lot of time over the last couple of years. And maybe that's where some of the frustration comes from. I mean, this is a bad team.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. That's got to be frustrating. You just signed a max deal. You're making a ton of dough. You know, yelling at the GM in a public practice, that just seems to me sort of like the Jimmy Butler thing last year.
Sure.
It's like there are times and places to express your frustration. And it's not like you're in the poorhouse looking for your next meal. Having to wait for something. Like it's too bad Cleveland's not very good, but they're not. And maybe what this does, though, is it motivates the Cleveland front office to move him even faster. If you've got a disgruntled guy like Love and there is some value on the market, maybe they can translate that. It remains to be seen. I just have a hard time with guys in that position acting out like that, you know, like almost like, you know, a very, very, very childlike sort of way, you know.
Spoiled brat
sort of stuff, yeah. Like, go, you know, uncle plays with the Beach Boys, big deal. You know, like, just play the game, be better. And like I said, he's been out so much.
Yeah.
So should the rest of the franchise be ticked at him because he's been injured? Of course not. But anyway, that kind of public outcry just doesn't.
Well, he's just trying to get traded, I think is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, he's trying to speed up, like Butler did.
Yeah.
The Jimmy Butler school of getting traded. Make yourself so obnoxious that you got to get rid of him.
Yeah, the difference is Butler can still contribute. I'm not sure Love can come close to what his contract is.
Have you seen Butler's numbers lately, though?
Yeah.
Terrible. But he's in a slump.
Yeah.
He'll come back, and he's still defending. Like,
yeah, his team's still winning, though, too, right? Like, he's still a fairly big part of that team.
Big part and an anchor on defense.
Yeah.
And so he isn't shooting the ball well, but they have enough from the rest of them. And one of the things I love about Miami, and this is maybe something we can talk about in the future, is the way they use the zone defense against the Raptors. They zoned them for about 80% of the game.
Well, that was like the lowest scoring game of the season in the NBA.
Yeah.
For like 76 to 84.
Exactly.
Now, I watched part of that game and I was like, geez, I thought it was a lot of bricks being thrown up. But then I was like, well, how much of it was the defense?
A lot of it's the defense, because one of the things with the zone defense is it takes away your rhythm 3-point shots. You don't get the shots you want in the flow of the game because the zone disrupts your cuts. The zone disrupts your patterns. The zone disrupts your passes.
So why don't more teams play it?
Most teams don't spend much time on it. They're working on their man-to-man. I mean, with the way the NBA's defenses have to be played with the defensive 3-second rule, and you have to be a certain distance from the player that you're guarding, those sorts of things, to play an NBA zone is different than playing a college zone.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to spend a lot of time. And obviously, Miami spent a lot of time on it because they really had the Raptors out of their rhythm. They didn't let them do what they wanted to do.
Got Paul Sir in the house, Basketball Alberta president, talking all things NBA. Paul, Anthony Davis today declined a max contract from the Lakers. Lakers fans, should they be panicking? Is this part of the process playing out? What do you think the agent and player are doing here?
They're looking to maximize what the next years are going to be able to offer to Davis. Mm-hmm. It looks like he wants to max out what he can earn over the next 5 years, with the asterisk that this is a guy that's had a lot of injuries as well.
Sure.
So the risk he's taken by not signing long-term deals is if an injury, career-ending injury happens, but everybody takes that chance. So his agent's the same agent as LeBron James. LeBron helped him get that agent. Sure. So I don't think Lakers fans have to panic.
Okay.
I just think what he's trying to do is get a shorter term deal, because in 3 years he's going to be able to get even more money.
Okay.
So what he's trying to do is get short term deals at max dollars, and then as the cap goes up and the earnings potential goes up, he wants to be in position. I mean, if you're only making $180 million, you want to make sure you get to the $200 million mark as well. So, you know, I feel for the guy.
Yeah, so it's just maneuvering around the salary cap and understanding how the CBA and all that works to get the maximize every dollar you can out of that thing.
That's right. And the Lakers knew going in when they made the deal that their challenge was going to be re-signing him.
Sure.
So now we'll find out. I mean, Davis is having a great year, fantastic year, almost MVP caliber year, along another MVP candidate in LeBron. Mm-hmm. Best record or top two records in the league. Everything's moving his way, but I don't think he wants to jump at the first offer. He's looking to max everything out.